Hey, Swabbies. Thanks for tuning into the Smelly Pirate Content Creation Show. Case studies offer the marketplace proof your product or service is valuable to your target customers. Well, I guess these pirates are both crazy and smelly because we're giving away a case study for free. And from what I understand, free is a very good price. For a limited time, purchase one case study from Lion's Way and you'll get a second one free. Just fill out the contact form and use the word pungent when one of the crew reaches out. BOGO Case Studies. It's a world gone mad. Gar.
Lion's Way presents the Smelly Pirate Content Creation Show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is part of our ongoing series about different content types, explaining what they are and how we make them. Today, we are going to be talking about a content type called an animated explainer. My name is Eric Arneson. I am a writer for Lion's Way Content. And with me today, I have our lead writer, Carl Steiner. Carl, say howdy.
Howdy.
And our creative director, Joel the Barbarian Barker. Joel, say hello.
Howdy.
All right. So, an animated explainer.
I don't know if barbarians say howdy. Do barbarians
I don't know.
Say
howdy? You know, I mean, I don't know if barbarian, you know, I think, yeah. Anyhow, will one of you please explain to me what an animated explainer is? Because I don't have a very clear idea of it. And it brings to mind something that involves like Steamboat Willie telling us, you know, how to, you know, what database to write, to run or something like that.
That's a great concept. We should totally use that the next time we need to talk about a database. Like all these content types, there's no specific rule about them. The market and the innovation of creatives and the needs of the strategy decide these things. And so they're shifting all the time. But an animated explainer is animated. So it is, you know, it is a video asset and it explains the product or service in a way that edifies the viewer to a certain extent.
And now when you say animated, you don't necessarily mean with like cartoon mice, though. You mean something else.
Right. And I guess animated would be a misnomer because there's a great deal of stock video and interview video that one would intersperse in there. Animation is just going to be the tool that we're going to use to create visualizations, flowcharts, spaghetti and meatballs look, or other sorts of things. The very typical animated explainer, which I believe has been worked into cliche at this point, is the whiteboard video, right? We've all seen
with the little cartoon hand that draws diagrams and sketches things out in that very specific font and stuff. Okay. Yeah, I totally have seen those before. So these are usually presented on the website, on the company's website then.
Yes. They also could be put on YouTube and Vimeo where they may theoretically be discovered or hosted on, you know, other places.
Okay.
And just one of the things that I'm seeing out there a fair amount in the B2B environment is a integration of animated explanation along with video, you know, interview video. A lot of our clients, you know, the C-suite and leaders of these companies end up at trade shows or they end up doing podcasts or they end up somewhere where they are on video explaining, you know, talking about the company, talking about the service or the product. And it's really a great way to take that, you know, content that is being created for free by your own CEO or CFO or whatever and integrate that with visual explanations of your product or service offering. So you can have the talking head up in the corner or maybe relegated off to the left or right while for 7 to 10 seconds, some sort of, you know, maybe not a severed hand on a whiteboard, but some sort of animation that explains how your, you know, AI technology works or your data collection process works. And it can be quick and it can augment what, you know, you're seeing two things at once. You're seeing the talking head and you're seeing, you know, animated explanation.
So then where does an animated explainer fit in the marketing pipeline?
It could fit in a lot of different places.
It's questionable whether it fits anywhere at all, yeah. frankly.
Wait, what?
Yeah. That's a really good point.
What does that mean?
No, it's a problem. And here I am exasperated already. We're only like 5 minutes into this. It is possible that people make these and spend a lot of money and time and effort on them and get no benefit out of them. It's difficult to create metrics around them. You can say how many people watched them, but I mean, that could have been, you know, an 8-year-old boy clicking randomly on a keyboard. You don't really know much about them. I mean, you can get better metrics on that. And they are such a passive thing to absorb that it's just hard to build confidence that what they are is meaningful for a company. That said, they're super cool, and sometimes people want to make them in order to just increase brand quality. That is an amorphous but important thing.
But increasing brand quality still has a place in the marketing pipeline. It's just at the very, very top, right? So that means an animated explainer might be at the widest part of the funnel, way, way up at the top.
That's true.
I say awareness.
Yeah, if you're doing it in more of a training context, it could be at decision. You know, it could be, how does our service or product integrate with a typical technology stack, right? I mean, that could be a real decision-making tool for somebody.
Is it dangerous then to invest effort into such a complicated piece of marketing content that far down the funnel, that far down the marketing pipeline, if you're unable to get really clear metrics on it?
It depends on the price point of what you're selling. Mm-hmm. If you have a prospect close to the bottom of the funnel and they're going to be a 7-figure prospect, then putting $10,000 into an animated explainer that's 30 seconds long that explains in detail how you're going to integrate into their larger technology infrastructure, that'd be $10,000 worth spending.
If you're getting signals from your salespeople and from your existing clients that this is a question that they have, then yes, I think that you should make those lower down in the funnel, tighter funnel pieces, absolutely. But I don't mind asking hard questions about to clients about, like, why do you want to do all of this work right here? And to try to get some clarity around that. And then in terms of the top of the funnel things, it's become a joke in the tech world, which is pivot to video, which was this idea in, this was more in B2C marketing, but also in terms of journalism and all sorts of media, that we needed to start making video because that's what people were watching. It turns out that was pretty much built on falsified data from Facebook in order to sell video.
Meta lied to us?
It was Facebook at the time, so maybe that's why they changed it. I'm not sure. But so I find that there are still people in the B2B marketing world who have not absorbed the counterfactual that, in fact, pivot to video was not a thing that was useful for anybody except for the platforms that were making money off of things going to video, i.e. Facebook, et cetera. And so when people say we got to have a video, once again, I'll be like, tell me more about why you need a video.
Yeah, I can't agree with all that more, but I would also say from experience that there's a lot of noise out there right now in getting your content elevated. And a priority for a lot of companies, specifically in tech, is promoting yourself by yourself being the company, as well as the leaders of that company, as thought leaders, as people who are, part of it. They're in the game. They're relevant. And so having them on video, speaking is important, but also having something of substance to differentiate that thought leadership oration is important. And, pivot. Yeah. I can't agree with Joel Moore on pivot to video, but boy, if you can do that and cleave out, atomized content from some of that, some larger video production that can be used as somebody can consume in 10 seconds, and it's posted on LinkedIn, or it's attached, you know, maybe it's embedded in an email, or it's, you know, whatever, it's a social share, or on your website, on your homepage, you know, if something that doesn't suck up a ton of, functionality on your homepage, going, wow, look at that animation do its thing when I landed on the homepage. That's telling me something. Video, animated video is very, very informative, or it can be, especially when you're talking about trying to make complicated technology accessible to a, you know, maybe a C-suite or a business focused persona.
Yeah. Writing for a 30, 60 or 90 second piece helps us be very concise and then figure out how to have a short phrase that appears on the screen that explains something in a way that sticks in your brain is very powerful. But if people say, oh, we got to get a video up there, and they just go and assemble a bunch of stock photos and put text on top of it, you know, I really question the value of that effort.
I agree with that.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the writer's role in creating an animated explainer. Now, making a video has probably a few more production steps than like making a web, you know, copy for a web page or a case study or something like that. Can you explain where the writer's role is in an animated explainer?
Well, here at Lion's Way, we put the writer at the center of the work, and so the writer becomes the composer of the piece entirely, and is scripting not just the text but also the flow and what the visuals are going to look like. That's going to be built on subject matter expertise. But we definitely need the writer to conceive of how that's going to feel for the end viewer.
In order to prepare an animated explainer, who does the writer need to talk to at the company?
They need to start with the marketing people, whoever has a vision of what the organization looks like, sounds like, etc. I really want there to be distinct knowledge in there, and so a subject matter expert, and like Carl mentioned, you know, having an authoritative talking head is very compelling, I think, and really underlines that we are knowledgeable and useful as a company to the viewer. And then we have to go back to both of those people, first with the script and then with the final production of it.
And I would like to emphasize how difficult it is to write a 60-second script. I mean, you have a very, very limited number of words you can use. It is hard to do well, which is why you don't see it done well very often.
But it's fun because you've got this dimensionality. Yeah. You've got like the text that you're, you know, the voiceover or, you know,
subtitles,
closed captioning. And then you've got whatever's happening on the screen, and they can like resonate against each other. It can be really, really cool.
Yeah, we've made some really fun stuff over the years. We really have. And it's something we'd like to do more of, quite frankly. Assuming we can find a place for it in the funnel and avoid talk about this whole pivot to video thing.
That's sort of the challenge, isn't it? Like, yes, these are really, really fun to make, but we have to make sure that they're worth it for the client.
Yeah.
Well, and Joel nailed it. He just nailed it with respect. It's the same as the issue with, you know, stuff we watch on streaming. I mean, how valuable to Netflix is a movie that a million people watch? You know, they, oh, wow, we've generated a million people watch this movie, but they're all paying the exact same amount of money for their subscription. So how do we attach value to that?
In creating an animated explainer, how much overall effort is involved? Like from the marketing department contacting a content creation team to a finished video, about how long does that usually take?
2 months. I mean, it's going to vary so dramatically, but 2 months. Carl, would you agree?
I agree. If you have a functioning marketing department, 2 months or so is great. If you have somewhere deep in the bowels of your company, individual or individuals capable of bottlenecking something, it could take longer. I mean, most marketing departments possess the capability of getting it out the door. It's just a function of the internal environment in which they operate.
The review cycle for every piece of content is the delay. And when you're talking about something that has this complexity of look and feel and visuals, the first thing they're going to see is a script that's got no visuals to it. Or we might do a storyboard first so they have something. But if what they have in their head and what they start seeing as we go into full motion video reviews, you know, it's going to slow things down a lot. And yeah, I mean, we build that into the plan. Like it's just, it's a part of the difficulty, the challenge of it.
Way more people are going to have an opinion about a 60-second animated explainer than they are a 3,000-word deeply technical white paper. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to feel more comfortable saying that's not quite right, or this should be a hexagon versus a polygon or whatever. But the minute, you know, same with a website, the minute you introduce visuals, everybody has an opinion about a visual.
Well, that leads me into the next thing that I wanted to ask about, but I think you guys have kind of given an answer about this already, which is when producing an animated explainer, where are the places internally to a company where roadblocks will typically occur? And it sounds like one of the things that should be identified early on are the stakeholders and the people who will have a say in reviewing the animated explainer before approval. Are there other places where this type of content can get stopped or hung up inside a company?
I wanted to say that, and this goes back to some of the things I've already said, is that we should get hung up early on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people are under budgeting for this, then they're going to be unhappy with what they make. But showing them an honest budget of the cost and time that it's going to take should stimulate a conversation about why are we doing this, and do we want something that is uniquely original, that is evocative of our brand and our knowledge in the industry? Because that's what this is going to cost. I think you should get hung up there and really like decide whether you're going to do this or not.
Yeah, Carl mentioned some specific numbers earlier, so I suppose it's probably really worthwhile to mention that video production is notoriously expensive compared to most other types of content production. Like it takes a lot of work and CPU time and technical expertise when it comes to the actual, you know, producing the video side of things, and that can really add up quickly.
There are tools out there that allow you to make more popular looking things or very kind of cookie cutter looking things. And mm-hmm. no doubt AI is going to allow those to look a little bit more original over time. And those are lowering the cost of the creation of them. But again, the writer's role is central to this working. You can make a lot of crap and the cost of doing that is definitely going down, but it's still crap.
And I would like to elevate something Eric brought up earlier, just a couple minutes ago, which was the identification of stakeholders. Doing so early is a core pillar of our process of content creation, be it for an animated explainer or any other type of content. We really work hard at the outset of a project to unearth every single individual or department within a client who is going to have review authority over a piece of content. The sooner you do that, and involve those individuals in the production process, or offer them the chance to be part of it, the smoother things are going to go when a piece of, you know, in process video is at the 80% stage and they're looking at things going, okay, are we moving forward with this particular visual style? Do we need to make an adjustment? How do we like that particular graphic? Or where is the script falling down? Is something missing? All that kind of stuff. Engage them early and get buy-in early. The whole process is less expensive and the output is better.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That is really good advice. Do either of you have any final words on animated explainers?
Gar.
I think we should end it on Carl's nuggets of wisdom there.
All right. That sounds good.
Can we keel-haul anybody first? Wait a minute. We haven't keel-hauled anybody. We haven't gone a hole.
There will be plenty of keel-hauling. Don't worry. There will be keel-hauling. Okay.
You know how I like keel-hauling. I mean, it is one of my favorite things. With barnacles, please.
We hope you enjoyed Enduring the Smelly Pirate Content Creation Show, brought to you by Lion's Way. I'd like to thank our producer, Eric Arneson, for making us all sound smarter in post. Please remember to tip your server and subscribe to this podcast on the platform of your choice. And be sure to visit lionswaycontent.com for all of your B2B marketing content needs. Yeah.